Good afternoon. Let's go ahead and get started. Makes me a little nervous that everybody's sitting so far away, but but that's wherever you're comfortable. And I'll try to speak up too. My voice is kind of.
That's it. It's the one you marked up. You got that one.
This is a public rulemaking hearing considering amendments to the bingo raffle rules. In accordance with the State Administrative Procedure Act, Section 244-103. The date is May 30th, 2008. The time is 2:08 p.m. And we're meeting in the Secretary of State's Blue Spruce Conference Room, 1700 Broadway, Suite 270, Denver, Colorado. My name is Bill Hobbs. I'm Deputy Secretary of State, conducting the rulemaking hearing on behalf of Secretary of State Mike Kaufman. The purpose of today's hearing is to receive and consider comments on the proposed rules that were published, I believe, on May 10th. We issued a notice of rulemaking. We, at that time, published a draft of the proposed rules and, I believe, published a proposed statement of basis and purpose. My understanding is that this notice of proposed rulemaking also was preceded by adoption of some temporary rules that are related to the rules we're considering today to make permanent. Let me just make some other introductions. To my immediate left is Andrew Whitfield, Acting Director of the Division of Licensing and Enforcement in the Secretary of State's office. To my immediate right is Chuck Green, an investigator with the Secretary of State's office. Shannon B. of the Licensing and Enforcement Division, and standing by the table, Rudy Johnson, who's in charge of the investigators section. I hope I'm not misstating anything, but that's my introductions. The statement of basis and purpose, I think, explains pretty much what the purposes of the rulemaking are, so I don't think I'll go through that. I think the extent I recognize people, I think people are far more familiar with these rules than I am. So I think what I'll do is to go ahead and turn to oral testimony. Have we received any written comments on the rules? And I might add one thing I might do at the end of the public testimony is leave the rulemaking record open to provide a little bit of time for people, if they want, to provide written comments or suggestions. Whatever date would want to allow enough time, I think, to complete the rulemaking process, which involves a number of steps, but basically we have to adopt the rules, get an AG opinion, and file by the end of June. So June 9th might be okay, but it's I don't have any strong feelings about it, and it may partly depend on whether folks, you know, feel a need to take some time to respond to any of the issues that might come up. So I'll probably just rely on Andrew, whatever your suggestion is. So with that, I'd like to then turn to public testimony. That's the purpose of today's hearing, is to get input on these proposed rules, and I think probably go in order. Dan Genzig, welcome. And if you'll identify for the record, I should add that obviously it's a recorded meeting. We're broadcasting over the internet as well, and so if each speaker would identify who you are and if you represent anybody, who you represent.
Good afternoon. My name is Dan Genzig. I'm the chairman of the Bingo Advisory Board. Also, I'm a hall owner, and I'm the bishop of the American Oak Catholic Church, which has a number of churches and ministries that do bingo as well. So I'm a multitasking person. And the Bingo Advisory Board, these rules were talked about in our last meeting, and they all were approved. There was discussion, however, regarding the last sale pull tab information, and there was some discrepancies that I think there's going to be more testimony about that will be coming up. All the rest of the rules, the advisory board has approved by vote. Also, we distributed these rules to over 20 groups within our, my two halls, and everyone is in total favor of those and feels like they're beneficial for the charities. And so I wanted to state that from what we have on here. The only thing I wanted to add to a rule that's not on here that to talk about would be that we would like to increase the number of faces that can be put on a electronic device. Currently, it's 36 faces, and we would like to increase that to 54 faces. The benefit of that is for the charities. It increases their sales at their door. They pay rent on these machines anyway, no matter how many faces are on there, and so it helps overcome some of that expense that they have. In my two halls, I can't speak for others, the usage that we have, whether it's paper or whether it's machines, is about 50-50. So half of our players use machines and half of our players buy individual packs. And the players and the groups find it beneficial if they can increase how much somebody could spend to help increase their income.
May I ask a question? Sure. You know, my recollection was that the 36 face limit was intended to sort of level the playing field between those using player eight devices versus those just playing on paper.
Yeah, and that's what happened originally when it was first established. But now we've gotten to the place where it doesn't matter anymore. There isn't that same kind of feeling about not having a fair chance. The number of winners that went on paper are pretty much the same amount that went on machines. And I'm speaking about my halls only. There are some halls that only sell paper and don't sell machines. And so the people have a choice to be able to go to those halls if they want to. And there's a number of halls that sell paper only. And so we did that when we first made the changed the rules or the law last a year ago. We had new laws, and part of that was there was a time of before the rule hearing where there wasn't any rules. And they were selling 54 faces, and it was beneficial to the groups. And there wasn't an issue for the players buying those or for the players that were just buying paper. That isn't an issue in our halls. And we probably have excellent attendance, let me put it that way, for all of our sessions compared to some other places.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. John Amon.
Thank you.
I'm John Amon, here today representing Quality Bingo Supply. And I wanted to talk about one of the proposed rules and make a suggested additional proposed rule. And they both items somewhat track Bishop Dan's comments, but they're a little different. The first one I've prepared in my written submission, the proposed new last sale rule. And we've been under a rule similar to that for a year and a half now since the last set of rules were changed. In that time, our last sale game sales have gone to essentially zero in the state of Colorado because the last sale games that we sell are either very large games that are very unwieldy to put out and display all at once on a pickle bar, or they're last sale games that are sold through a pull tab dispenser. And many of the pull tab dispensers won't accommodate a full deal of last sale games. So what I've suggested is at least a modification to exempt somewhat under a limited circumstance pull tabs that are sold through dispensers. And this would achieve the goal of informing the public or the player who's playing a last sale game in a pull tab dispenser with a special posting that would be stuck onto the dispenser indicating whether or not all the tickets in that particular deal are in the machine. It'd be particularly important when the last of the game is displayed in the pull tab dispenser, because then the players in those pull tab dispensers would tend to really buy out that particular last sale game column. And it's particularly inhibited our sales of coin boards in the clubs. That's typically where the last sale games were of an advantage to both, or of interest to both the player and the club, because it would help close out the end of the game, especially when all of the merchandise items are sold off the board. The players that would be buying that last sale pull tab deal would know that there's still a significant prize to be won by buying it out. In the bingo halls, I haven't made any suggestion on the change, but I would sure support a change, because what had the current state is that these pull tab deals get down to the last 200 or 300 tickets and sit there because the players are concerned that there may be no winners in them. Whereas if there's a $200 or $300 or $400 last sale prize, it moves those almost empty games off of the pickle bar and clears it out, and a new game is set forth, and there's more play. It's enhanced. I know in the Colorado Springs market, where my company doesn't do a lot of business, last sale tickets were very popular. And I don't know whether they've been able to continue exposing their big games all at once or not, but I'm sure it's had an impact on that market for the nonprofits. In the Denver area, select nonprofits were just starting to see the merit of these last sale type tickets by where the end of the game would be cleared out. So I know that, and I'm sure that my competitor Don Cozina will also comment on how the current rule has impeded and hurt the nonprofits on last sale games. The last item is that I would recommend a change to Rule 7.0.B.2 on the 36 cards in a handheld electronic device. And again, this is something that economically hurts the nonprofits, because it doesn't maximize their revenues off the sale of a handheld electronic. We're in the distribution business on the handheld electronics, and it would not enhance our revenues at all, because our transactions are based on a flat fee per transaction, not on how many cards are sold in the machines. So it's something purely to enhance the economics of the nonprofit. And I've suggested 48 faces rather than 36, and that would be going from 6 packs in electronic to 8 packs in electronic. But I would agree with Bishop Dan's suggestion of 54 faces. I would not have a problem with that. This 36-face limit, is my understanding, is the most restrictive regulation in the nation in bingo. And are there any questions?
I don't think so.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mark Rosen.
Good afternoon. I'm Mark Rosen. I'm the games manager of Westside Benevolent Society and Hillel Academy, two charities. I just have two comments. The 54 cards I would be totally in favor of. Repetition of what they said, it's just more revenue for us. We've never had a complaint that a player, paper player, says, I can't buy as much. They come in with dollars, and it's how many dollars they have to spend. And the winnings are, if it's your turn, it's your turn. And we would be in favor of the 54 cards also. The only problem I have with everything is on the last sale, and I've discussed this with some of my players, and I'm not sure what the constitutional right is. If some of our players win the last sale, I don't know if we have the right to demand a driver's license. I don't know if that's a constitutional right that we have. If you go to the casinos, it's $1,200, and that's a state law. Well, we're not giving away $1,200. We're giving away $200 or $300. And from everybody I've talked to, the reason that we're putting that in is that the Secretary of State's afraid that the charities is going to keep the $200. Well, trust me, the players won't allow that. When you put out a last sale bucket, they know it's a last sale bucket, and they know what 200 tickets look like if it's a $200 prize. They know what 300 tickets look like if it's a $300 prize. They're a lot smarter than we are. It's their money, and these pickle players know that stuff. And I know that I've had several of my players say to me, I'm not going to show you my ID, and you will pay me. So are we then, as a charity, putting ourselves in a position of a lawsuit if I refuse to pay somebody if they don't give me their driver's license? That's a pretty scary position to be in from a nonprofit organization. I'm not the sheriff. I'm just there to give somebody money. And if the law is $1,200 in the state of Colorado, then I don't think we need to show somebody, have them show their driver's license, $200.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? And you support the balance of the rules accepted?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Mike Myers.
Good afternoon. I'm Mike Myers. I'm a volunteer. I'm the games manager for a retired enlisted association in Colorado Springs. So I do I take care of our charity's bingo operation. And what I want to talk about just for a couple minutes is just the last sale rule. We use a lot of last sales, especially the dollar last sales, the $5.99 to $500 last sale dollar tickets in our hall. Our bingo patrons love those tickets. They eat them up, they use them, they really enjoy them. The problem with them is it comes in four boxes. It comes in 100 pounds of 16,000 plus tickets. And so, which we've been able to manage, and all of our charities have been able to manage that in the past. And the way we do that is when our buckets are out there, when we fill them up to the brim with a box, we'll hold about 6,000 tickets or so. And then the other three will have a mark, say, here's the serial number, here's the box one of this, and the name of it, and we'll have them right adjacent to the bucket so all the players can see them. Plus, we put a sign up beside our placard, beside our flare card, so we can tell people, says, all right, now we're at a last sale. So there's no way for there to be any confusion with our players or with our volunteers of when that last sale is. Since we've been doing this, we have had no problem with it. Our concern, though, is we are restricted on space. As most bingo halls are. You can only put so many buckets up there. And when you're trying to put four buckets full of one deal holding 16,000 tickets, that takes away the other deals that you could provide to your members. And we usually will run maybe two quarter tickets and $2 tickets at a time and give them all an opportunity to buy what they want. And that's worked really well. What we're asking is not to have the demands levied upon us to actually open up the boxes and have to pour in the entire deal at one time for sale. I think the way that we do it and the way that a lot of our charities do it, it works extremely well. Because let's face it, 16,000 tickets is a lot of tickets. The other thing is the weight them. We use a scale system where we weigh our tickets when we take them out, we weigh them afterwards, we bump it up against what we're bringing in, and it's actually a way for us just to make sure that, you know, that our accounting of money and our accounting of tickets matches. And it's really a good system for us. If we started using bigger buckets or garbage cans with 16,000 tickets, it negates that. We aren't going to be able to do that. We just can't weigh big buckets like that with our scale system. And our scale system has really helped us immensely. The other thing is you mentioned about, was there any inputs in writing? Actually, there was an input. I sent an input in April about this to include pictures. In fact, I have a copy of the write-up if you'd like to have that. And then if you need me to resend it, well, I'll send it to Investigator Ryan.
Okay.
And he said he was going to make it part of the record for this and explains our situation, which really kind of explains the situation of all of our charities within our hall.
Okay. And since it was before the official notice of rulemaking, it might not have made its way to the official record, but we'll make sure that happens.
So that's our concern, and what we're asking to do is just to continue selling last sale pool tabs as we're doing with the four box deals, the 16,000 tickets, and we'll just have them available immediately adjacent so people can see them. We bring them out of the back room, we stack them all up, we mark them, and there's absolutely no concern at all. We've had no complaints with our players, by the way. Our players love the tickets, and there's never been an issue about since we've been doing that about. Is this a last sale or is it not a last sale?
Okay, thank you. And the rest of the rules you're okay with as proposed?
No problem.
And any comment on the maximum number of faces allowed for bingo aid devices?
As a user, as a seller of those, I would love to see that. As just like the other folks have said, people come in with a fistful of money and they'd like to have more faces in the electronic units.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Don Kazina.
Good afternoon, Don. My name is Don Kazina. I'm with Rocky Mountain Bingo Supply. Bill, I too did submit in writing, I don't know if it was before or after, to Andrew.
Yeah, it was before, but yeah, we'll definitely take those into account.
That does, okay. Cause I won't reiterate any of those points. I'll just leave it.
Sure. Sure.
And I just want to say I concur with all the testimony that's been up here so far as the last sale tickets go as well. It's very, very important to our company, particularly in the Colorado Springs area. That is an area where a lot of tickets are sold in that $15,000 to $16,000 range. I would like to maybe make a suggestion as far as language to be added to the rule as opposed to, you know, repeat what was said up here. In the rule, it currently says a bingo raffle licensee offering last sale deals, pull tabs for sale shall display and make available for sale all pull tabs containing a discrete deal upon opening said deal for sale to the public. And maybe I would suggest we add, unless said deal comes packaged in more than two boxes per discrete deal, in which case the said deal will only need to be made available for sale upon request of the public. That might get around the issue of the high count ticket games, because anytime a last sale ticket gets over 6,000, 6,000 to 7,000 count, it becomes almost impossible to put it out.
So if it comes in two or more boxes, then what was the remainder of what you said? What would
Unless said deal comes packaged in more than two boxes per discrete deal, in which case the said deal will only need to be made available for sale upon request of the public. So what we're saying is if somebody theoretically asked to buy something out of box four of four, I guess the group would have to honor that request. In all likelihood, I don't think that would ever happen. But at least it would be covered by the rule to allow the last sale. And I would definitely concur with Mr. Amon's comments on the machines. The machines are impossible for, it's not a level playing field for the small clubs to not be able to sell last sale tickets if they can't put them all out. So I'd like to see the clubs exempt to the degree that John spoke of.
Okay.
And as far as the other rules, I concur with everything. The 54 card issue, that was submitted in my written request to you as well. I suggested 54 cards.
Great. Thank you. And David S's?
Okay. I guess on that point, I think that on the last sale pull tab, I think that we should keep everything consistent. So if all pull tabs have to be for display, available for sale, then we need to do the same for last sale. If we're going to change one, we should make the change to both. And in that regard as well, if you're going to say 4 months instead of 6 months after the end of the quarter, I think you just need to keep consistent so that people aren't, no one knows what to do. And, you know, I think we need to keep it consistent. So if you would look back into that, I don't have a problem not displaying, but just letting the players know that it's not this, you know, that the full amount isn't out there. So if everybody's doing the same exact thing, everybody will know and will be able to, once you let everybody know, the players will start to ask. I had a question on rule or Colorado statute 12.9105.3.1e in regards to blueprints. Was that stricken?
The blueprint provision was stricken. It should have been stricken in the last bill. That was one of the things that we included.
Okay,
In 1273 or before?
In 1273.
So it is
stricken.
You don't have to worry about
being attacked. Yep. Rumors. and other than that, everything else, you know, that I've read through does work. And just a quick note on promotions, page 34, the 12.08.2a needs to be changed as well if you're going to change that.
What rule are you talking about again?
The promotions on 13C. It's also got to reflect on 12.0. It's just, it's the old language. So if you're going to...
Just keep it consistent. Yeah.
And I'm sorry, now that I've located 13C, what's the issue with
well,
that?
Well, 13C states that was changed of merchandise, services, or cash, and in 12.0A, 2A, you just need to make that same change.
Yeah, okay.
Is that because we read them?
No, I like it.
Okay.
Okay, is there anything else?
No, other than that, you know, I've made my statements at the advisory board meeting and
okay.
Happy with everything the way it looks.
Great.
Thank you.
I don't have anybody else signed up to testify. Anybody else wish to add anything? If not, we'll conclude the hearing. And, Andrew, I guess, you know, I'll just leave it up to you if you feel like we need to leave the rulemaking record open for a period of time.
I think we can leave it open until June 9th. So if anybody else has any written comments, I've got business cards. You can send those to me or you can send them to Rudy. And after that, we'll move forward with the rules as with your suggestions, and we'll discuss it before we actually post them.
And what's the target date?
Well, if we get all the comments by June 9th, then they should actually become permanent as of July 30th. Yeah. There are some of the rules would be. It depends what sort of changes we actually make, but they wouldn't necessarily be retroactive. No.
I mean, like.
Not sure how that would work.
I didn't follow the question. Would you mind coming back up to the mic? Because I want to make sure we're picking you up and recording.
My question is if, in fact, they change the rule to 220 sessions a year, okay, and if the rule takes effect August 1st, is it 2,000 or 220 sessions for the calendar year 2008?
And I don't know the answer right off, but I think we ought to consider it. Yeah. Make sure that we clarify.
Yeah, that's a very important question to all of us.
For the current year.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it could be made retroactive in the sense that it applies to the current year. I don't think there's a legal problem with that.
Okay.
So it may be more of a question of just clarifying what the intent is.
Okay, just so we all know. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else? Then I'll close the hearing, and we appreciate you guys coming and all the input. Very much appreciated. Thanks.
Thank you.
And the time is 2:35.
Thank you.